If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 16. Nope, sorry, Matthew 20. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 16, so I knew their number was in there for a reason. And as we've been going through this sermon series, talking about the life of Jesus Christ, we're kind of in this time of teaching about him teaching and how he taught. And I decided to take a few weeks to talk about some of the parables, the way that Jesus talked. And I was actually speaking with a buddy last night, and he goes, "Oh, you're going through the parables?" And I said, "Well, I don't think I'm going to go through them all. I might just do some of my favorites." But trying to talk about how Jesus taught people. And I said, hopefully I'll end this message, not this one, but this set of how Jesus taught by Jesus flipping over tables and whipping people in his father's house. So we might have a visual on that one. I'm not for sure. But talking about the vineyard workers today, you might have heard this one, but it reminded me when I was 18 years old. And a few things I can remember from back in those days, because my mind is starting to slip some. But I remember working. I transferred from a plant in Montgomery City to Earth City. So I was moving up in the world. And I went there and I started working, and I was making $7.40 an hour. You know, the big time. And as I was working there, I remembered that I was probably one of the only people working at this plant that had the most experience. And I started to talk with people and realized that they were making more than I was. And these were people that had just gotten hired and stuff like that and was coming in, and they were making $8 an hour. And I thought to myself, what in the world? You know, shouldn't I be making more than these people? I mean, I've been with this company since I was 16 years old, nonetheless. A whopping 2 years later, I should be making a lot more than the person that comes off the street. Well, the problem was is that when I accepted this job in Montgomery, you know, living wages were different and stuff like that, but this was a thing that I negotiated. This was a price that I said I would be fine working for. So it was kind of in my you know, teenage years of stupidity, I kind of got myself into that position where I was making less than other people. So it was actually up to me to go to my bosses and say, I would like more money. And the easiest way for me to do that was just join the union, and I was guaranteed to make more money. But it made me, when I was reading this story last night, it made me think about that time in my life. But the story for this is kind of, I would say, almost completely different. So you're probably thinking, why do I need to tell a story? And I'm just going to say I needed a good opener to kind of wake you all up, because some of you all are already starting to fall asleep on me. But as I read this, it talks about just those wages of why we think we deserve more and stuff like that. So let's dig into the scriptures here in chapter 20. We're going to be reading this entire parable. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like this, or like a landowner who went out early in the morning and hired workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers on one denarius, he sent them to his vineyard for the day. When he went back out around 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. So he said to them, 'You also go to the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right.' So off they went. And around noon and about 3, he went out and he saw some of the same thing, and he hired them. And then at 5, he went and he found others standing around and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' And they said, 'Because no one has hired us.' 'You also go to my vineyard,' he told them. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard came to the foreman, called the workers, and he gave them pay starting with the last and ending with the first. When those who were hired at 5 came, they each received one denarius. So when the first ones came, they assumed that they would be getting more, but they also received the denarius. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner. These last men only put in an hour, and you made them equal to us, the burden of the day's work and the burning heat. He replied to one of them, saying, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on one denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give the last man the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I am gracious?" So the last will be first and the first last. Now, as I read this story and as I was rereading it last night before I went to bed to prepare my night of rest for my worship, I had to say, reading it last night, I got to that part in verse 15, and that was one of my wow moments of just striking me and saying, wow. Because God spoke to me when I was sitting there, and I begin to pray and talk about this and to think about how gracious our God is with what is His. So the first thing I want to talk about is right there in the first verse where it talks about, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." Now, we have so many times in Scripture where God, Jesus, is giving us these glimpses of what heaven is going to be like, of what God is like, and giving us the benefit of just giving us that glimpse while we're here on earth. You know, one of the things that I can be very excited about is to go be with Jesus. That's one of the things that I sit there and I think about. I think about how great it's going to be that we will get to worship God face to face and to see heaven, however it looks, however it's described. But also know that God has given us these glimpses of what it's going to be like so that we can get a little more excited. And then know that we have a God that is so loving. Now see, the way Jesus used these parables was he was trying to give us these stories and these glimpses that we would all understand. That we would know what he's talking about. And he did this talking to the people. And throughout all of Scripture, you have the people talking to people in their everyday language, what they would understand, because God did not want this to be unknown. He didn't want it to be this grand mystery that people could not follow. He wanted us to be able to have this book so that we could read it and so that we could get excited about what's to come. So as he's talking about this landowner, we can clearly see that this landowner is a representation of God and His grace and His mercy. Going out and finding people. Now, you could be saying, okay, now is God trying to say here that we have to work to get that reward? Well, there are some people that say that, but that's not true. Again, he's just using the example of the wage and the payment that he freely gives out to everyone. But we have this landowner here who is representing our God, who has got this great gift for us. And as he is going out and finding people to work in the vineyard and to do the job, he loves them so much to give them the pay. Now we see the basics here. We see what this Bible narrows down, how it talks about the daily wage when it talks about the denarius. That was a silver coin, and it represented a day of wage. Simple enough, it was a printed piece of money that people would give out saying, "You did a day's worth of work, here you go." You have the landowners, you have the workers, you have all those workers trying to live, trying to provide for their family, standing in the marketplace, waiting for people to come and hire them. You know, that must be a unsettling feeling to realize if you're going to be able to put food on your table that day. An unsettling feeling to know if your children are going to be able to be fed. That's why we should be ever more gracious with the jobs that we have, even if you are tormented in your job. Because it could just be you going and standing someplace and hoping to get hired for the day. But this landowner, he goes out and he goes and he finds these workers and he has a vineyard and he says, go work in my vineyard and I will pay you. They agreed on the denarius for the day. So go, and he would go back to this marketplace and he would find more workers working there. And he would say to them, go work in my vineyard. Which represents this landowner had a very vast vineyard that could accommodate these workers. Continued to go out all hours of the day hiring these people. Now it says the only one that they agreed upon a wage was the first set of workers. But as they went out later in the day at noon and at 3 and at 5, there was no negotiation. These people were just happy to get hired, happy to have this position, happy to sit there and go, I can work for whatever I'm going to get. I'm guessing these people at the very end of the day, when he said, why hasn't anybody hired you? Or what are you standing around doing nothing? They said, no one has hired us. They're probably thinking to themselves, I'm going to have no food for my table that night. But we see as this parable comes to the meat of it, it says in the evening came, and this was around 6 o'clock. So the ones that had only been there at about 5 had only worked about an hour. And I'm not even trying to put in the whole travel time to the vineyard and trying to figure out what they're going to do and to work. But when they called them all up, we see that they called and started paying the last first, and they would get to the first, last. Kind of representing what was going to happen in Jesus' last statements. But as they start to pay, you see the generosity, the love of this vineyard worker, or this vineyard owner, excuse me. You can see that he decided on his own that everyone would get paid the same. That everyone would get a day's wages, even if they were there an hour, or if they were there all day. Now that idea there, again, that is grace. The idea that a person could go and work 1 hour and then get an entire day's wage is grace. Again, I put myself in the mind of one of those workers that was working for just an hour, sitting there thinking about how much he can scrounge together to put food on his table, to help his family, to help his wife and his children. Maybe that look of having to go into his wife of shame, of saying, I wasn't able to provide for you. All of that was set aside by the love of this vineyard owner who gave him a day's wage. You think about the tears that probably flowed from some of their eyes as they were given the silver coin. To sit there and think to themselves, I can go to the market and I can buy something. If I make it there fast, I can buy food. Or if I can just go home and I can show my wife and my children this one coin. How great would that be? How great would that be to have that? To have your wife and your children look upon you with joy that you were able to provide for them. Now we get into the part of the story where the people who have been there all day, the ones that were really hot, the ones that were really sweaty, are looking at these ones who were there for an hour getting the one denarius, thinking to themselves, okay, I am going to get a big payday today. I'm sure some people became those armchair mathematicians and thought to themselves, okay, an hour equals one denarius. Well, then I've been here until 8. I'm going to get a lot of money. It even says they assumed that they would get more. And this speaks to the mind of man, because we assume a lot of things. But I can assure you, sometimes when we assume things, that could end our life. I was listening to a witnessing encounter with a gentleman who was a computer designer. And as they were talking about computer programs and how sophisticated they are, the guy goes, "Well, did the computer program just happen on its own?" And he goes, "Well, that's ridiculous. Someone had to program the computer. They had to program the software. They had to go through lines of code and do all of this stuff." And then he goes, "Well, what about the earth?" And the guy goes, "Well, it just happened." Because he assumed what he was taught all these years, that if computer programs had to be programmed by someone, but then earth just happened because it was an accident, right? Assuming whatever we hear, if it be online or if it be in textbooks, is 100% true can honestly make us lose our life. We have to trust in God. We have to trust in knowing that God knows what is right for us. See, people assume there is no God, but we know that He is real through our faith in Him, through the evidence that we have. Now, these workers, they assumed that they were going to get more, but when they came up, they got the same. They got the same one denarius, the one day of wage, and they naturally were a little grumpy. When I think back to when I found out other people were making more than I was a little grumpy at my job. I thought to myself, well, if I'm not going to get a fair pay, why do I have to do more work or the same work? Why do I have to be working harder for longer, knowing more and getting paid less? Again, that's our sinful mentality, our human nature. Thinks if we've been doing something longer, if we've been doing something harder, we are guaranteed to get much more. But what this story is talking about is salvation. What this story is talking about is how this one day of wage makes all the people equal. Now, we don't like, or the world does not like this word equal right now in our society. But the Bible makes it clear that just because you have been a Christian longer than I have doesn't mean your salvation is going to be any different than what mine is. He made the workers equal. Those who bore the burden of the day's work and the burning heat, they get the same reward as those who were just there an hour. Now, as we first read these words, you might think to yourself in that human thought, is that fair? Well, is it wrong of us to think that the thief on the cross gets to have the same glory in heaven than we do? If we think that we deserve more because we've been a Christian 2 days and he was only a Christian a few hours, he deserves the same as we do. See, the point of this goes right into what God has said about salvation. It says that we are given salvation by calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved. And that God is gracious to do with what He wants with what is his. Salvation is not guaranteed upon us just because we were born in a certain spot. We live a good enough life. Salvation is given to us by calling upon God's name and being saved and having faith in Him. And anyone who does that has the same salvation that we do. But let's take it one step further. We take it one step further because we say that those people who have salvation in whatever situation they are in, if they are sitting in a prison cell, if they are the worst criminal you've ever met, they get the same salvation, and they are your brother and sister in Christ. Now, see, that's the part where a lot of us have a problem. That is where we look at and we go, oh, you took it there. Why'd you have to go there? When we hear the stories of people who get saved, when we hear those stories of anyone who gets saved, that we would think it's a long shot. When we hear those stories of those hardened criminals who have given their life to Christ, those drug dealers, those people who are not, well, sometimes we would think worthy of salvation. When they get saved, what do? Are we sitting there excited? Are we sitting there thinking to ourselves, I need to do all I can? Or do we step back and we go, I'll wait and see? Because a lot of times I see, I'm going to wait and see. There's became this process in the church where someone comes to Jesus and we go, okay, now you need to prove it to me before I'll believe it. You have to prove your worth as a Christian and then we'll let you into our church. We'll let you take part in communion. We'll invite you to all the exclusive things. Christian, that's not how it works. It's not our salvation to give out. It is not our place to say who can worship and who cannot. Because it is not our salvation to give. And how dare us sit there and think that we can tell God who He can give salvation to? How dare us sit there and say, you have to prove your salvation to me. Christian, it's not about you. So stop thinking it is. In verse 16 it says, so the last will be first and the first last. Telling us we are no different than any other sinner. We are no different than any other sinner that comes to the name of the Lord, that calls on that name. See, as sinning goes, we know our sin. We know how bad we are. Because we beat up on ourselves way too much. We know our faults. We beat ourselves up because of them. But we also realize that God saved us from those faults. That God saved us from those sins. And when we are able to see how gracious, how generous Jesus Christ is to save us, to save the person I was before I became a Christian. When I understand that God can save me, and then He gives that salvation to someone that I, in my sinful mind, thinks is worse than me, well, what I need to do is now a Christian, I understand that their salvation and my salvation is from the same God that saved us both, that saw the grace needed to be given unto all who call upon his name and are saved. As we look at this parable, we understand that we can assume we deserve better because we went to church all of our life, because we memorized a whole bunch of verses, or because my Bible is better leather than your Bible. Assuming things gets us into a lot of trouble. Assuming that there's no God, or assuming that I'm going to get a better reward because I'm a pastor, can get us into a lot of trouble. And sometimes when we assume, God will knock us on our butt. And he deserves to knock us on our butt every once in a while. But when we look out and we see those people getting saved, the ones who, it's only by God's grace that they are saved, we treat them as they should be treated, as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that takes a lot. The Bible is all about knocking us down, isn't it? To making us humble ourselves a little bit more, right? To make sure we understand how lucky we are. And I'm fine with that, because I need that eye-opening statement of, don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? The reason I said wow last night, as I was watching the fires in the cities burning down, is because I realized that Jesus Christ took on the flesh of man, and he came to this earth, not saying that there's other earths, but he came to earth to save us. His blood came and was shed for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And I can tell you, I saw some videos last night, and there's a lot of people that need Jesus. There's a lot. But just because we do not see those fires in our towns around here doesn't mean that there's not people that still don't need Jesus. God has given us every opportunity to share this message, to present this gift to those who need it. And we got this gift. How much do you like being a Christian? I got a few. Okay, let me ask this again. Do you like being a Christian?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like more people to be Christians? Wouldn't you like more people to understand what the real problem is? And that the problem is sin? If we can get a lot more people to realize their sin, and that is causing the problem in our country and in our world, if we can get more people to realize the only thing that's going to save them from their sin is not a big screen TV, it's not a case of liquor, but it's Jesus Christ, then maybe we'll start seeing less fires. We'll start seeing less hatred because of a person's color of their skin. We'll start seeing a lot less anger towards others if they have the love of Jesus Christ. because we're all either equal in our sin or we're equal in the eyes of God. There's no one better than anyone else because none of you all are Jesus. So as we understand God's grace a little bit better, that no matter if you were hanging on a cross next to Jesus for a few hours or if you were in church all your life, you both will be standing in the presence of God, worshiping Him together. But it's up to us to go out and to continue to spread this gospel, to tell everyone about the generous gift of Jesus Christ. And I do ask if there's anyone in here that needs this gift, to needs this day of wage, this payment that God is freely giving, this gift of eternal life, call upon His name today and accept that gift. Accept that payment because God wants you to have it. He wants you to call upon His name and be saved. And then share this love with others. Don't assume other people are going to do it for you. Don't assume anything, but always share Jesus. Understanding that when we have more brothers and sisters in Christ, our world will be fixed. But until then, we will continue to preach. We will continue to sing hymns. We will evangelize in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we close today, we are so thankful that You are a God who loves us, who cares for us, who will die for us. As we, Jesus, know what You've done for us, as we are so thankful that You had shared this grace with us, and that we didn't do anything to deserve it, that the gift of salvation is not based on our works, but is based on Your love for us. God, I do pray if there's anyone that is in here that is listening to this, if they need You as their Savior, if they need to be cleansed of their sins, let them do that today. Let them call upon Your name and be saved. And Father, as the brothers and sisters of Christ are in here, let us have a heart filled with love when we see new members of the family of God. Let us be overwhelmed with joy at whoever gets saved, and not let us think that we deserve some sort of a proof of salvation. But let us know that God is bigger than we are and can save whoever He wants. Because He is God and it is His salvation. Father, let us go forth and to preach the gospel and share Your love. Father, I thank You and I praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I have Roy start,